Our reading from Peter's letter is his own account of his witness of the transfiguration. How he was an eyewitness of Jesus' majesty. Jesus leads Peter, James, and John high up on a mountain. His appearance changes. He no longer appears merely human. He shows the blinding light and radiance of his divine nature. It is as if the mask of humanity comes off for a moment, so that these few disciples can see the full truth and the full splendor of who Jesus is. This majestic event does not just come through the eye, but also through the ear. As God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter says, "I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears." This is a vision I was given. But then as he later says, "It cannot be taken away from me, but I want to, and it must be shared." What I so appreciate about Peter is that he does not talk about his experience in a braggadocious way or in a way to elevate himself. Look at how special I am. He shares his story to encourage us to also become our own eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty in our hearts. Peter begins his strategy by convincing us that he did not make this stuff up. "I did not follow cleverly devised myths," he said. Peter is not a creative teller of tales, a spinner of yarn. His message is not man-made religion. It is a divine revelation that Peter was blessed with, and now he wants us also to be blessed. In college, I was an exchange student in Spain. One of my classmates, when he found out where I was from, complained to me, "Why does everything that I buy at the store say Made in USA, made in the USA?" I was surprised. I heard complaints myself growing up about how many things were made in Japan, just as you will hear people complain today about things being made overseas. But if you turn the Christian faith over, it does not say made in the USA, or by Peter, or in Spain, or China. You might be able to argue made in ancient Israel or in Jerusalem. But Peter's account gives us God the Father's authentication that Jesus is not made or created at all. He is the eternally begotten of the Father, the eternal Son of majesty and glory. It's good news that our faith is not American made. There are so many cleverly devised human philosophies, for sure. There are so many myths that can inspire. But we should not be duped by things made by the intellectual prowess of human beings, no matter how impressive. What sets apart our faith is that it is rooted in history. And even better than that, rooted in timeless eternity. God opens the veil so that we can see the true nature of Jesus, the Son of God. At one point in time and space, Peter was upon a mountain. He experienced for himself the blinding and deafening truth of Jesus. The transfiguration reminds us that Jesus Christ is uncreated, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is the Lord of glory, the Christ of majesty, the divine veiled in humanity. He is the bright, incarnate, morning star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the light and life that has no beginning and has no end. Peter takes from his own treasured experience and wants to enrich all of our lives. He says, "You will do well to be attentive to the lamp shining in the dark place," he says. "You will do well until that day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." This is a great vision of our journey. Our journey on earth, our journey through Lent to Easter, as we begin Lent. We will soon bury our alleluias. We go through the wilderness and the dark valleys of our struggle with sin, just as Jesus was tempted in all things, yet did not sin. His light guides us through the betrayal, the arrest, the crucifixion, the death, and the burial of Jesus. We know that our alleluias will return. Jesus has triumphed over the deep darkness of evil, sin, and death itself. Those who dwell in the shadow of death will see a great light. On the third day, early that Sunday morning, the bright morning star will rise out of the deep darkness. The twilight will come, and then the dawn of a new day. The day Jesus says, "I make all things new." Peter reminds us, though, we don't have to wait. The day for the dawning of Christ in our hearts has come. He is the morning star rising out from underneath the darkness of our hearts. Peter says that promise is for us now. We are a people whose hearts are filled with the majesty and the glory of the risen Christ, Peter tells us. Jesus was transfigured for the apostle Peter, James, and John in the company of great prophets, Moses and Elijah that day. But that was not the end of Christ's audience of his majesty and glory. It was just the beginning, a foretaste of our resurrection, a foretaste of our heavenly home. Now, by that same word and Holy Spirit, that same voice of the Heavenly Father, and by that same Christ, you and I are eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. We have seen his glory. What was for Peter and for us is a personal experience, is now a universal encouragement to all of those around us. We can now encourage others to cultivate the light of Christ in their own hearts. You will do well, Peter says, to be attentive to this, to be mindful of this. You will be blessed to seek your own revelation of the power and the sonship of Jesus. Our lives will also be transformed by that same glory. Our hearts filled with the light of his forgiveness, and we will have a foretaste of our heavenly home. And one day, we too will radiate that same majesty more brightly than the midday sun. And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's majesty, for which in joyful strains we raise the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.